Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Texans up one, but here's Brandon McManus. 45-yard attempt, left hash mark. Snap is down. The kick is up, and it's good. The Texans lose as time expires. 24-22 to the Green Bay Packers. Heartbreaker at Lambeau Field.
Our keys to victory this week was executing and finish. Like, we didn't execute well enough. All the way across the board, we didn't execute well enough, and we didn't finish the game. Like, credit to the Packers. They finished it the right way, made the plays when they needed to make it, and they finished the game the right way. But for us to play how we play, you know, offensively is just not good enough for us. We have to play better. Guys have to execute better, have to step up.
Yeah, that's an understatement. That is an understatement. Welcome in, everybody. Happy Monday to all of you. Happy Reaction Monday to all of you. Ain't all that happy, but hope you had a good weekend. We are here for you. Seth and I are here for the next couple hours. We're here for you all day long here on Sports Radio 610. After the Texans, I have a hard time saying let one get away. They were lucky to be in this game considering how they played offensively. They did something that only 6% of teams have done in this category since 2010. Lost a game where they were +3 in turnover margin. 94% Ooh. Of the time, teams win the game when they are +3 in turnover margin since 2010. Thanks to Texans Cap for that stat. The gloves are off this morning, man. How you doing this morning, my friend?
So the Texans came out and said, listen, if we learned one thing from the Astros, it's that you can't let them count you out just because there's only a 6% chance. People wanted to say, hey, the Astros can't make the playoffs with a bad start like this. Texans said, hey, you can't lose. All these people are saying you can't lose a game where you're +3 in the turnover ratio.
Yeah.
We're going to do it. That's We're going to go out and do it.
Man. So let me back up. Let me start off by issuing a PSA right now to the family members of any of the Texans offensive linemen yesterday. I'm talking about the Tunsil family, the Green family, the Scruggs family, the Mason family, and the family of Titus Howard. You've been issued the PSA at 6:02 that this is not going to go well for your family member today. This is not going to go well at all. And quite frankly, it's long overdue. They've not been good this year. They've really not been good over the course of the last year and a half. There have been fits and starts here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But yesterday was an abomination. Yesterday was an embarrassment. They should all be embarrassed over what happened yesterday with that offensive line. I saw a cut-up before the game on the NFL Network where they were talking about the Texans and the Packers, and they were showing all the free runners that just run right at C.J. Stroud throughout games this season. And I said, man, that is really jarring because I don't see that happening to a lot of other quarterbacks. And boy, do I see C.J. Stroud. The gist of the whole thing was this is the magic that C.J. Stroud can make with his right arm with this janky-ass offensive line in front of him. Unfortunately, the magic ran out yesterday. That was a complete abomination, an embarrassment. They're going to get their quarterback killed. I don't know what the issue is up front. I don't think it's physical. I think it's mental. Chris Strausser is finally catching some strays for what appears to be, at a minimum, a very mediocre or horribly coached offensive line, or an offensive line that's just not grasping the message that's being handed to them on a weekly basis, because That was anxiety-inducing yesterday. I am so nervous about what could happen to C.J. Stroud. This offensive line looks like they can't handle the most basic of blitzes right now, Seth.
No, and they do things, too, that because the offensive line can't be trusted, some of the protections they're in does end up putting stress on the tight ends and the running backs because they have to block big people and to make up for the remedial full-turn protections that the offensive line will have to employ. And it's just bad. It's really bad. I mean, like, this is where we are. This is after facing the Packers, and I know that there's a lot of people out there who get really upset. I don't know how these people exist. They get really upset after you lose a close game because, hey, fellas, they were out there and they were competing. No. Were they really? They were +3 in the turnover ratio. And they were barely hanging on, and they got worse in the second half. This is a mediocre offense right now. Like, there's no way to slice it. Scoring, otherwise, whatever you want to look at it, it's a mediocre, middling offense, and yet they're being paid a whole lot of money to be mediocre and middling, and that includes the offensive line. The offensive line is just a hodgepodge of misery from one play to the next, almost without theme or concept. They're inconsistently inconsistent. You can't even pick which guy's going to score. One play might be Titus Howard just falling on his ass and then somehow looking to the officials for help. I don't know. I have to go back and watch that play. He fell on his bottom side, and then he looked to the officials. I'm guessing he thought the defensive end was offsides. I don't know what to say about it anymore either, Sean, because I know what the fans say, which is, how is this every year? Different coaches, different GMs. How is the offensive line, almost for every year of the Texans' existence, other than a precious small window in the Gary Kubiak days when you had multiple offensive linemen going to the Pro Bowl?
Yeah.
You know, back to the Dwayne Brown and Wade Smith and Chris Myers in those days. It's an ongoing headache, and it's not an impressive offense.
No.
There's impressive individuals on the offense, but it's not an impressive offense whatsoever right now.
No, it's not. And the excuse before was, the issue was they can't run the football. Well, they ran the football yesterday, but I'm not giving the offensive line full offensive line credit for 115-yard rusher. If Damian Pierce is getting the 25 carries in that game yesterday and not Joe Mixon, it's 25 carries for 62 yards, not 25 carries for 115 yards like Mixon had yesterday.
And most of Mixon's yardage came in the first half. The second half, it really wasn't, I don't think, as much about adjustment by the defense as much as anticipation by the defense. When they started to realize, okay, this is what the Texans are doing, okay, and you do some nice, you guys think you're having fun pulling guards and having tight ends block defensive ends, and that's all good, but now we're just going to physically destroy you, because we've seen it. And in the second half, that's when some guys got really trucked physically, just disused. I mean, the Kenyon Green experiment, it's been fun. Sure, the Texans could have drafted two much better football players, Kyle Hamilton or the
Jordan Davis.
I don't know how the defense. I don't know how Jordan Davis is doing.
He's doing better than Kenyon Green, I can promise you.
Yeah, Kenyon Green's just a mess.
Yeah.
So, and as people have pointed out, as aggressive as the Texans were in free agency and in the offseason, they really didn't do anything to bolster the interior offensive line other than say, let's see. Let's see what they can do. They ain't doing much.
Yeah.
Not doing much.
Nope. Then the texts are already rolling in here, and they will all morning. 713-572-4610. That's my theme for this game. Now, we'll get to D'Amico Ryans in the second segment of the show. They did not lose this game because of the defense. I thought the defense, especially considering how undermanned they were, did a really good job yesterday. That's a good offense. They held them to 24 points, and three of them were on a last-second field goal. So I thought the defense did its job. I thought the special teams did their job. This game was lost up front in the trenches by the offense. And I think, for me, Seth, the most nerve-wracking thing, it's a couple of things. One, just the very basic part of the danger that C.J. Stroud has put in every Sunday behind this offensive line. You know, he's the future of this team. And my hope is that when the future evolves, that these five men in front of him, at least most of them, will not be in front of him anymore. But that's where I go secondarily with this, is that I feel like if there were a position group on this team that were performing at this level in any other room in that building, there is, put the position coaches aside, like, these are grown men that need to look in the mirror at their performance right now, especially considering how much some of those guys are paid on the offensive line. If there were an issue in the wide receiver room, I think there are guys in the wide receiver room that would be able to self-police. I think if there were an issue in the running back room, the linebacker room, certainly. D-line room, absolutely. Secondary, for sure. That would self-police and say, hey, guys, let's get our act together here. Let's get our bleep together here. I don't feel that way about the offensive line room. I don't feel like the leader that they have in that room is not a guy who's grabbing them. I don't feel grabbing them by the lapels right now and go, guys, if we don't achieve our goals this year, we are going to be the reason for that.
He'd rather give advice on which designer to give you fancy velvet lapels.
That's exactly
for the sports coat that you're going to wear out to the club.
Somebody texted the show yesterday, the postgame show, and they said, this is a Chardonnay offensive line. We need beer drinkers on the offensive line.
Yeah. These guys are all getting ready for the Catalina wine mixer.
Yeah.
And they need to be going off to drink a Schlitz. They need to be headbanging Trent Williams, Jason Kelce types, and instead, no. I feel like they're trying to find they're all upset over the demise of the skinny jean.
Yeah,
they're like, oh, I thought they were so form-fitting.
It was a hell of an era. It was a good time. It was a hell of a time.
I'll tell you what, the Italians don't dress like this.
Yeah. 11 TFLs yesterday. That doesn't so for all the times where CJ almost got his head taken off. There were 7 pressures in this game, and it felt like there were 100 pressures in this game, according to, or maybe 7
of the time.
Yeah, 50%. Maybe so.
Yeah.
Maybe 7 QB hits. Maybe. Well, I know it was 4 sacks. He was pressured. Depending on which website you go to, I've seen anywhere from 48% to 55% of the time. Mm-hmm. It felt like more. So they were horrible protecting CJ Stroud. They also allowed 11 TF in a
11
game,
tackles for a loss,
in a
right.
game where a running back ran for 115 yards. There somehow were 11 TFLs in there, including 2 on the final drive of the game, the final series of downs of the game, where the Texans, I mean, D'Amico said they were trying to score. I just don't believe him. I believe they were playing for a field goal in that instance. 11 TFLs. You want some context on that? 3rd most in a game since 2000. That happened yesterday.
3rd most in a game since 2000. Somebody yesterday, after I tweeted out that graphic, said, hey, all right, look, they were going against a good defense. That's it. Oh, I didn't realize that whenever you face a good defense, you allow the 3rd most of something.
Shut the hell. That person should shut down their account.
Doesn't seem mathematically possible that every time you face a good defense, you should have the 3rd most of something. Going back more than 2 decades. I don't think the math's on that one.
Yeah.
But still, point taken, I suppose.
If you feel
they're bad. And the other, the game management side of things, too. I mean, D'Amico and both D'Amico and Bobby Slowick, there's just something. I don't know how they regressed in terms of game management.
It's bad.
They were really impressive with game management last year.
Yep.
This year, they've regressed.
It's bad, and we're going to get into that in the next segment. There was some good. There was D'Amico Ryans, the defensive coordinator, I thought had a hell of a game yesterday. I thought that defense, they played well enough to win that game. They gave the offense multiple opportunities to try to win this game. D'Amico, the head coach and game manager, it might honestly, in terms of decision making, might have been his worst day as a Texans head coach.
There's another guy too, two guys that like you don't want to criticize, but Tank Dell. I mean,
who?
Tank Dell.
Who is he? Who's Tank Dell?
He's the guy that dropped the pass that hit his hands
at the beginning of the game. That's
in
right.
the end zone.
I blacked that
right.
out.
Yeah. That was the thing. Like that could have been enough points there to.
I'm mad today. I'm angry today. if you can. And this was a game that I was. This was a game. I don't want to put it this way, but I can't think of another way to put it. Going to break. I went into that game being okay with them with the possibility of losing this game because of how undermanned they were. It's an NFC game. They got the Colts next week. All those things. Not like that, man. Not like that. So you can tell where we're at with all this today. The tale of two D'Amicos yesterday. We have to get into this because there were some botches yesterday, man, that really cost the Texans. Thought the defense was great. I thought the game management was not. We'll get to that coming up next.